Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 65.
This week on the podcast, GOP members find themselves hating one of their own ideas yet again after Obama follows their advice on Syria.
In order to steal focus from their first bad idea, GOP members also cannibalize their own immigration reform bill.
And the NSA spying program is not effective enough to find Edward Snowden, even as the entire international press corps snags interviews.
SCOTUS is expected to announce their next round of bad decisions in coming weeks.
Slapstick comedian Kim Jong-un is ready to talk to the U.S. in the first bilateral talks between the two nations.
And the GOP devises a strategy to get gays out of the military via Christian bullying.
All this and more. Plus, don't forget to follow us on Twitter. This is Brain Trust Live. We hope all you guys had great Father's Days yesterday.
I was feeling a little stressed out because I was looking on Facebook and everyone else had posted a picture of their father.
There's so much pressure to do
and
that.
I felt
if
like,
you don't, then
first
you
of all,
sort of
my
like,
dad's never on Facebook, so that would be weird to do.
Well,
second
we know,
of all,
as we
I,
know, mine is on
yeah,
Facebook sometimes.
Brent's dad shouldn't really be encouraged, maybe, to be doing more Facebook
Sorry,
than
dad.
Usual. And then I felt guilty because my mom posted a picture of my grandfather and I liked it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then I was like, does it look like I don't like my own father now? And I'm his only child, so no one else is posting about him. But I just felt like that would be weird. Like, isn't it enough that I wished him a happy Father's
right.
Day and spoke
Did you
to
buy
him?
Him a gift?
No.
I bought my dad a hose.
A hose?
He liked it. He likes
practical.
To do some practical. Very much so.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I feel guilty about it, but I'm also going to go visit them soon. And I
That's
sort
true.
Of feel like...
That's it.
If everyone's... If anyone's bitching and
fine.
Moaning about it, I can bring them a gift. So
That's true. They won't.
The gift of my presence
yeah,
will
exactly.
be... something they receive soon.
Yeah. I also just got back from a wedding today and spent some time in the George Bush International Airport
yes.
in Houston today. I couldn't remember.
In one
I
of
almost
those
said
cities.
Dallas, but that's not right.
Well, Brent was
in
Omaha.
I was in Omaha.
Where he gave me a running commentary on everything that was going on in Omaha. Not much, as you might imagine.
I was taking a lot of pictures of some sort of like really upsetting like tract homes and
construction sites.
New construction and expanses of nothingness.
There was a Midwestern housewife that looked vaguely lesbian-esque that you...
Tons of those.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
I was snapping inappropriate pictures, like, in bakeries.
Yeah.
Of
well,
people with bad haircuts.
You
that's
know,
what that's what happened there.
Yeah, that's... It's one of the reasons that I think... At one point, I was talking to a friend of mine about why it seems like gay men get so much more sort of, like, news coverage than lesbians. And she was like... Well, lesbians can sort of exist under the radar anywhere.
Right. Well, and especially in the Midwest.
In the Midwest
because,
where
like,
everyone's
so many,
dressing like one.
So many housewives are looking like lesbians.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to that, they don't know. They don't know what they're doing.
They can't possibly know. But it's a look that there, people will just be like, oh, you look like you live here. And if they came to the city with the same look, people would be like, well, you must be a lesbian. No one else would dress that way.
That's so true.
So, there's...
Yeah.
What can you do?
Anyway.
In any case... Oh, and I spoke to a friend today who is Turkish, who doesn't live in Turkey at the moment, but is very sort of concerned about what is going on in Istanbul. Because,
well, as she should be.
Yeah, the sort of clashes with the police have continued there.
Yeah.
And I think given how sort of, like, how we're approaching Syria at the moment, which we're going to get to, and how we generally just ruin everything in the Middle East all the time, she's sort of concerned that we're viewing this as another, like, Arab Spring. And she's sort of like, this is not really the same thing. Like,
it's
this
not.
Has been a really oppressive government, but this is a different kind of protest. And so she's trying to sort of encourage people in the international community to talk about it so that humanitarian groups will get involved because it's kind of gotten out of control.
It has. Like, I mean, the police and the government there are not treating these
protesters well.
With much kindness.
Let's there's been water cannons and tear gas and all sorts of craziness is going on.
Yeah.
And it's people have been killed in these protests. It's not it's not just like
they're not just going around with some pepper spray.
No. No, it's I think 4 people are dead. There's like 5,000 injured people.
It's crazy.
It's and I mean I think
and especially for something that sort of like I mean I guess this is sort of like how all protests sort of like get to a certain tipping point is they start as one thing but this because
this is
it started as sort of like an environmental sit-in to save this park.
Right.
But it was ultimately sort of about more than that, which is why it's turned into such a big thing, because it wasn't necessarily about the park. It started as being a protest for the park.
Become
but
something that's more about a sort of increasingly authoritarian government, which prior to this, Turkey has sort of been more in the open government camp than anywhere else in the region, at least. And
things have
sort of taken a turn there.
Right, and they'd sort of just been getting away with how they'd been, you know, governing until sort of like, you know, this has been, obviously, like, this has turned into something that sort of proves that this has been bubbling under the surface there for a while, because it's turned into a real...
Totally. Rupture. Well, and I think that we maybe have Occupy to thank for this in the States, but she was saying, you know, we really need to get some sort of, like, some major international coverage of this, and I was like, you know, I've actually been shocked by how much coverage there has been. Normally, protests in other countries get sort of, they're like back page news and no one really talks. You know, there could be like 4 million people in the streets in Italy and people would be like, well, Italians.
I know.
That's what they're up to.
Right.
But this has actually been covered by most mainstream press, and maybe they're not drawing the right conclusions from it.
Well, that wouldn't be shocking.
But, you know, we're horrible, so we can't help it. But I encourage people to learn about the specifics of it, but I also am sort of happy that having our own Occupy movement has sort of made an issue like this mainstream enough that we're reporting on Occupy things happening in other countries in mainstream press. So, that's both exciting and also, in general, disturbing that it's going on still.
Yeah.
We talked about this last week. This has been going on for
before,
a while.
I think, too, isn't it? I think.
So that's no good. And then, you know, moving just south of Turkey.
Yes.
Syria's been all the talk this week.
It has, because we finally decided that we're going to arm the rebels.
Right,
which John McCain already proved for us. We don't really know.
We don't know what that means. Right. Yeah. And as Bill Maher told us last week, and I think he said it again this week, we just shouldn't be involved there.
Well, no.
We should just...
It's probably one thing that we can, like, agree with Bill Maher and Rand Paul on.
Yeah.
Is my guess.
Yeah, it's one of the few issues that really crosses that boundary.
It does. Uh-huh.
But, I mean, this, I think, has sort of been a GOP kind of, like, fake issue that they've created that's like the other ones that they've created, but that has worse consequences, I think, for everyone. Because they have sort of been lambasting Obama for not getting involved sooner, which is like, do you want to just jump into every person's civil war in any country just to feel like you're doing something?
That's the thing. I mean, I think that, like, I don't know why they're doing this, because, I mean, I know that they love to just sort of attack him for doing anything, really.
Right.
But, I mean, this is... America does not want us to get involved there. And I'm not saying that we should base every foreign policy decision on whether, you know, the idiots of this country decide whether they think they want us to or not. But, I mean, there's no political win for them here, other than just sort of, like, sounding like warmongers.
Which
if that's their plan,
I guess,
then, I mean, they're doing it, so...
But they also, like, basically, they were claiming before that we should get in and arm the rebels. Then they proved that the rebels are, like, part terrorist, part angry citizen. And then now that we're getting involved and doing exactly what they say, they're annoyed that we're doing it because now we're armed terrorists.
It's too late.
Right, yeah. Now we know that they're... Like, first of all, there were always practicing terrorists involved in the rebel camp there.
Yeah.
It wasn't just concerned citizens that rose up because they don't have access to the kind of weaponry that terrorists do.
Right.
That's not to say that they didn't have legitimate issues, I mean, legitimate reasons to be annoyed with the government there.
Right.
It's certainly not been easy going over
there. But I just think that whenever we get involved in a country over there, I mean, the rebels aren't necessarily going to, you know, if they overthrow the government,
like,
and start their own
government,
like, what does that, like, that's just what I don't,
like,
I don't
what
know.
What has happened
I don't,
in Iraq?
Iraq?
Chaos.
It's the same thing happened in, you know, Egypt. We sort of really, you know, wanted that government to get overthrown, and then sort of, like, they had their democratic elections, and then we didn't like who they elected.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's really nobody that we like over there trying to run any of those countries.
No. Yeah. That's, and there's no political win for us unless we're talking about corporate wins, which is the whole reason that we get involved in these situations.
Sure.
We certainly weren't going into Iraq for the good of the Iraqi people. Like,
no.
That wasn't our interest over there.
No.
It was about money.
Obviously
and this
not.
Is
we,
about money
we,
as
we
well.
We killed a lot of them.
And
so
that wasn't in their interest.
No.
But this is about money. Anytime that we really get involved in any sort of internal Middle Eastern conflict, it's about money. And I feel like maybe we should just be sick of this now.
It's gone
on. Like, how much? How many taxpayer dollars have we spent getting involved in nonsense in the Middle East. And these are all civil wars. We don't understand what's going on over there.
And the people who want to be doing this are the people who claim to not be wanting to be wasteful with our tax money.
Exactly. Well, it's like Syrians being... It's like if some sort of conflict broke out between people in the South and people in the North. And then... Which has happened before, historically, P.S. The war of Northern aggression, as you might know in the South. But it's like if Syrians decided to pick a side in that battle.
Yeah.
Like, who's right? I mean, we would be right in the North, obviously, but Syrians don't know that.
No.
They might pick the South not realizing it.
Yeah.
That's, you know, there's no way to know, because it's an internal conflict about things we couldn't possibly understand.
Well, and it wasn't as, you know, what the White House has been saying, just because a lot of people are sort of drawing comparisons between this and Libya.
Right.
Which everyone says is not, I mean, I don't understand all of the details as to why it's not the same thing, but apparently it's sort of like, it's less clear cut. Where, like, obviously, like, it was, like, a very specific group of people sort of, like, trying to overthrow Gaddafi.
Well,
like,
and also, Libya had been having political issues with the U.S. for years before that. They had been doing crazy things when, you know, people kept getting kidnapped over there, and they would close it down to tourists, and they would do all sorts of crazy stuff. Because I was supposed to go to Libya at one point, and I couldn't, at the last minute, my trip had to be canceled because of some nuns got kidnapped or something like that. There had been much more serious issues in Libya that made it a much more clear-cut situation.
I heard something about Rick Perry was sort of doing this Syria, drawing this Syria conclusion, and I think he said something. He confused Libya and Lebanon.
Oh, boy.
That's
That's what you get from the governor of Texas.
Yes.
Not clear understanding of countries.
It was my mom who was telling me that, actually, and I was like, he's just actually dumb.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, sounds harsh, but I mean, I think there are some sort of, like, smart politicians who just sort of, like, shoot their mouth off, and even some Republicans who, you know,
are there
just,
are some Republicans that are smart, like, but evil. I think
Rick Perry
is
actually a dumb person.
He's a good representation of the type of people that often get suckered into voting for Republicans against their own interests.
Yeah.
It's other dumb people that are doing that. So they see a fellow dumb person, and they're like, this guy knows.
Uh-huh.
He knows exactly what we're talking about, which is nothing. It's the wrong thing. But, I mean, even... I love Boehner was saying that Obama should consult with Congress before taking any action in Syria. Just, like, for bad advice, like, what?
I know.
For what? But, basically, the GOP is just now on his case for no reason, and it's all just sort
of... For doing what they told him to.
Exactly. So now it's just all become this big controversy where the GOP is, like, running their mouth about nothing, and everyone's really up in arms about it, and...
I think this just sort of, like, this is just another thing on the list of, like, things that sort of prove that they really just...
Don't know.
Will hate... Well, they don't know, and they will hate anything that he does.
Yeah.
Because he's finally announced that he's doing what they asked him to.
Yeah.
And now they don't like it.
Yeah. That's once it becomes a policy that's associated with him, it starts to be a problem for them.
Yeah.
Because they can't be allied with him.
No.
That their whole platform is hating him. They don't have any other thing that they're, you know, obsessed with. Mm-mm. They'll turn on any of their historic principles in order to hate him. He could be currently, like, advocating a Tea Party line, and they would hate it.
Yeah.
They would start loving socialized medicine, for all we know. Maybe. Yep. This is a strategy.
It might be.
They're real gullible.
Well, they're currently hating their own healthcare strategy.
Yeah. They're also
because
currently...
Because it's got his name on it.
Yeah. So. They're currently hating their own immigration bill, which we'll get to later.
Oh, yeah.
So they can't be trusted.
Yeah.
First, though, Obama also, or through his chief of staff, issued sort of a defense of the NSA spying program that's going on.
Yes.
And said that he doesn't really think that any Americans' privacy rights have been violated, or at least... That's the word, according to his staff, who... He's not even sort of, like, treading into
I don't know how he gets to that conclusion, really, but...
It's not clear.
Because we know that they were. I mean...
They did say that they are glad that people are discussing it, because... Which sounds like a fake thing that you say to sound like you're listening.
Well, this is like that... This is sort of like that speech that he gave when he gave that big national security speech... Remember, and it was sort of like all of the things that he had been doing that he claimed to not like that he was doing.
Yeah.
Remember that speech that he gave?
Yeah.
Like, that was the whole thing.
This is a famous strategy of his.
So, I've been doing, you know, I've been spying on Americans, but now that we're talking about it, it's a healthy debate that we should be having here.
Exactly. And plus, with all of the spying that they're doing, Dennis McDonough also said that they're not really sure where Edward Snowden is.
I know.
They're not spying effectively enough to find him.
I think a few countries have said that they would give him asylum, right?
Right.
Haven't they?
But no one's sure where he is at the moment.
Right.
We know he was in Hong Kong, but...
Right. He was in Hong Kong, and I also think... Didn't Putin say that he would give him asylum? I mean, that seems like something he would do. I'm almost certain that I read that he said that.
No one knows if he's still in Hong Kong. No one knows where he's gone. He's disappeared. Man's giving interviews to every major press source, but no one can find him.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So the White House's spying program obviously is not that effective.
No. I was going to say, it sort of undermines his whole argument about spying, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Snowden's, like, we must not be trying that hard.
Yeah, we're not. Dick Cheney got into the fray, this week.
He's
really angry with Snowden, as you might imagine.
Right.
I am almost convinced now. I had been not really sure how I felt about Edward Snowden. I sort of feel like, and on the one hand, I enjoy that there are these people that come out and sort of, like, try to make transparent what is the sneaky government nonsense.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I also feel like his agenda wasn't really clear, and I wasn't really sure sort of what his intention was, and I thought it sounded a little bit libertarian.
Well, that's true.
So I was sort of against that.
Yeah.
But now I'm pretty convinced he's great, because Dick Cheney hates him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And I know that if there's one thing I can count on, it's Dick Cheney.
Well, and it's not even just Dick Cheney, too, but it's also very much the establishment hates him.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Of both parties.
They're both
So scary. That's another sort of way
that's
that you
sign.
Can know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Dick Cheney called him a traitor on Fox News Sunday. Then mysteriously suggested that he might be a Chinese spy. Also said that 9/11 wouldn't have happened if we'd been spying more in 2001, which is, they knew that 9/11.
I was going to say, that's a ballsy thing for him to say, of all people.
Yeah.
I mean.
Because you're spying doesn't mean you have to follow the intelligence you have. If you already had the intelligence that 9/11 was going to happen and you didn't act on it, what makes you think that if you had metadata that also said it was going to happen, that would also make you do something? Like.
It wouldn't have.
Chances are you would have ignored it either way.
They were already ignoring everything that was pointing them.
In the right direction,
so.
So, that is a sign of things. But anyway, we also learned we learned more about what metadata is this week.
We did. Other people may not.
There was an article in The Guardian that was sort of like a guide to metadata. Here's what I learned. It does include, it's a lot of the information that you think it's going to include, like who is sending who emails, and like at what time, and from what IP address, and like how long your calls are, and like where they're coming from, and you know, anything that you put on your Facebook profile or on Twitter is fair game, and you know, stuff that you search on Google, which is disturbing, because the number of times that I've searched like conjoined twins, and like weird shit is more than I care to.
Yeah.
And also, the number of times that I search, like, some sort of teen, like a Disney Channel star or something like that, out of curiosity for something or other, is also, like, you would think I was a teeny bopper with my Google searches.
But you're also probably Google searching for, like, North Korea documentaries, too.
Yes, that's another problem.
So they probably...
Yeah, I did spend
a real question mark.
I did spend a long time Googling pictures of Pyongyang, just out of curiosity for what Pyongyang looked like.
Don't do that.
I felt guilty about it. Once I did it, I was like, I shouldn't be doing this. But I was like, who are they to say that my curiosity about the layout of Pyongyang is wrong? That makes me like a suspicious person. I'm a person who cares about what things in the world look like.
Yeah. So we watched a documentary about it. We should talk about that when we...
Oh, yeah.
We have North Korea stories.
Anyway.
Later.
Anyway, so it's all of the stuff that you may expect. It looks really confusing. It looks like weird code that you can't read. Like, you know, when your computer crashes and some weird code comes up, that's what metadata looks like.
Oh, God.
So
somebody has to go through that?
A nerd, probably.
Obviously.
But the thing that we really learned was that metadata is why we were able to figure out that Petraeus was having an affair
with
Paula Broadwell. Because they were using an anonymous email account, and they weren't even sending the emails, they were just writing drafts. But we were able to, like, trace all the IP addresses that logged in, and, like, all sorts of scary stuff.
I love that.
So it's not good for affair havers.
No. But I did read, and I don't know if... The hard thing about this with all this classified information is you sort of, like, don't really ever know. But I feel like, supposedly, some Congress people this week were saying that a lot of this metadata and what did allow us to sort of, like, thwart some terror attacks, although that's sort of, like, vague language to use, too, so yeah. you don't really know what that means, right. but that's what, you know...
I know, we don't know how many non-terror attacks it also thwarted, right. because for a while, the NYPD was carrying out covert operations in New Jersey, which was outside of their jurisdiction, because they had some terrorism spying unit right. that they were up to, and all they did was start spying on some unfortunate, like, Islamic followers in New Jersey who, like, owned businesses and were responsible citizens and were doing the right thing.
Hopefully they're not thwarting your teen dance show watching.
I know. That would be the worst.
It'd be terrible.
If they... Plus, if I'm... If metadata is why I'm caught, like, illegally downloading Dance Academy when it comes out in Australia, I'm gonna be real pissed.
I think it's just gonna be karma.
I don't deserve it.
I don't know why.
I don't deserve it at all.
For watching it. It's karma for watching it.
If you're not watching Dance Academy, you're
not
a person.
I would probably love it.
You would love it. Any human would love it. It has everything you could ever want. It has cheesy soap operas. It has dancing.
Uh-huh.
Me and Brent were talking this week about how we should start a dance channel. A dance network.
Yeah.
We don't know how to do that, but it seems like a
There's
amazing...
any investors listening.
Yeah, we're willing to work on this. We're willing to quit everything and just wholeheartedly start the dance channel.
Throw it all away.
Yeah, just for that. Just for the dance channel.
We're seeing the ballet this week, though.
Yeah, we're going to the ballet this week.
Yeah.
We're missing a good friend's birthday party to do it.
Jill's.
Yeah, Jill's.
She's
you
on
know
the
Jill.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Old friend Jill.
But the ballet is important.
Yeah.
And it only comes once a month, so.
Mm-hmm. And her birthday only comes once a year. Oh, boy. Anyway.
Anyway.
Immigration.
Moving on. Immigration. Oh. Funny thing happened this week.
Yeah.
And this, I was actually talking, I was on iChat with a friend of mine who is a staffer in the Senate. And she was like, we were like talking about whatever, something else. And she was like, by the way, Tim Kaine is delivering a speech in Spanish right now. And he's been going for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, he really went at it.
Yeah. Tim Kaine, who as it turns out was a missionary, a Jesuit of sorts.
Sure.
Because I, as soon as she said that, I was like, is he a Mormon? Because that's what you assume when someone's really good at speaking a foreign language, who's as white as Tim Kaine.
Yeah.
Is you assume they're a Mormon. Mormons can have a superhuman ability to speak any language fluently. Mm-hmm. He's not, but Jesuits, close second.
Right.
But anyway, he was delivering his support of the Gang of Eight immigration proposal, and he decided that since it impacts so many Spanish-speaking Americans... Mainly Spanish-speaking Americans, that he would deliver the speech in Spanish. And so he did. It's the first time that anyone's delivered a full speech in a foreign language.
Right. And it was also super awesome because he spoke right after Marco Rubio.
Yeah. And Marco Rubio, you know, I was actually talking
like,
about this with my friend,
I
too. My friend was like, you know Marco Rubio is pissed because he's probably like, that was an option?
I know.
But there's, in 2005, Senator Martinez delivered some remarks in Spanish, but the whole speech wasn't in Spanish. You have to get approval from the Senate to deliver an address in another language, but they got consent to do it, obviously.
Yeah. Who do you get that consent from?
It has to be unanimous consent. It just has to be a thing that everyone agrees to.
Oh, interesting.
They like unanimous consent because it means that no one gets blamed for anything.
Oh, got it.
That's how they passed the 9/11 health bill, because none of the Republicans wanted to be voting against it.
Right.
You know, the Republicans don't want to be like, no, we forbid you from speaking Spanish on the... Because, like, they have Latino voters in their districts, too.
Yeah, of course.
So instead, they can just be like, oh, we all agree, yes.
Yeah.
They love doing unanimous. But I think this actually is a thing that just requires general unanimous consent. It's a very informal process. You can just be like, all right, move
sure,
anyone
fine.
Who has an objection, say it, and everyone stays quiet, and then everyone's
anything.
Fine.
Right, yeah. And then everybody leaves, and they say how terrible it was.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you do. But you can't, in this environment, it's not wise to disparage Spanish-speaking on the Senate floor, because the GOP's on real thin ice with minority voters in the first place. And
true.
This certainly wouldn't help their case.
No.
But meanwhile, Marco Rubio, thank God, I mean, I don't know what he said during his address, but it couldn't have been in Spanish because he couldn't have, it wasn't support for his own bill.
No.
Because he doesn't know what he thinks about his own bill. He's waiting to see if it's going to pass and then he'll support it. He might
so
be against
weird.
It though.
He might be.
Yeah. Because he's still angry that it doesn't have strong enough border enforcement, which is a GOP talking point.
Yes.
But like, it's his bill. So
right.
it seems like he would have had the power to encourage that to happen before the bill came to the draft. Like, he's just sort of making the news rounds, not declaring anything one way or another about his bill. He was on This Week on ABC and was asked point blank, if the bill stays the way it is, will you vote for it? And he said, I don't want want to get involved in hypotheticals and ultimatums.
What?
First ultimatums. Of all, ultimatums.
What?
What? What does that mean?
Hypothetical, sure, but ultimate, like...
No.
Here's the thing with this bill. All of the Republicans in the House and the Republicans in the Senate know secretly that they have to do something.
Right.
And will probably end up doing something. It might not be much of anything.
Right.
But their base is so vehemently against doing anything,
yeah.
They just sort of have to walk this tightrope. Because, like, Marco Rubio can't go out to all of the shows and talk about how great it would be to, like, let 12 million people become citizens.
Sure.
Because his... anybody who may vote for him ever again in his life doesn't think that they should be. So that's, but because
guess and, that in his state, that's probably not the case.
Probably not the case. But that's the line that everybody else yeah. is walking. Certainly. I mean, even just like, and I know that she's sort of the crazier variety of
sure.
Republicans, but my crazy aunt,
right.
sort of one of the pages that she likes is Seal the Border Now. And she loves to share things from that all the time. And it's always sort of just like about, you know, how evil all brown people are, basically. I mean, literally, she'll, like, share stories about, like, how an immigrant got pulled over for a DUI. I mean, like, these are the reasons that these crazies think that you shouldn't have immigration, because they're getting arrested for crimes that everyone may or may not commit.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think that she's probably, I mean, she's not alone.
She's certainly not alone if she's finding this... She's found a community on Facebook.
She has.
And it's...
My guess is that it's large.
Yeah. Well, this is this bizarre strain of thinking that a lot of Americans have that is really bizarre considering the history of the United States and how all of their families came here.
Yeah.
Because no one's family came here just for fun in the sun and, you know, like, just because they felt like a change. Like... no one yeah. in Europe was like, I feel like a change. I'm going to yeah. move to the States.
Uh-huh.
Things look different there. That's not how people got here.
No.
But, so, people have a lot of nerve. I feel like Marco Rubio is playing a weird game, though, because he is already the name on this bill. Like, he is the number one person associated yeah. with this bill. More so than even the other guys in the Gang of Eight. This really is his baby. And... so it's not like people aren't going to know that he's associated with it.
I know.
It just seems weird for him not to support it.
Right.
He can say, I wish it had stronger security measures.
Right.
But this is the compromise we came up with.
Then leave this interview and go write it in there.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's just like, what? Like,
but also, he's in a position to say, like, we wanted to have a compromise that would work on this bill. I was in the room.
Yeah.
This is what we worked out. I wish it had these things.
Right.
But I think this is the best that we can do.
I just think that if they want to get anything done on this, I think that they should just vote on this bill now.
Yeah.
Because
put some people on the record.
Because the House isn't going to vote for it. So right. what's probably going to happen is that the Senate's going to have to pass something, and the House is going to have to pass something, and then they're just going to have to go to conference on it. Because
yeah.
they're not going to... the House is not going to pass... probably any bill that
yeah.
the Senate ends up passing with the Gang of Eight in the Senate, because it's going to be too far, at least to them, to the left, which is bonkers.
This is like just more nails in their coffin. They are so foolish. And I know that you can be crazier in a House district than in a state.
You can.
At large. And I'm sure that some of them will get elected on the basis of people hating immigrants. but in the long run, this is just such a dumb strategy.
Yep.
So dumb. And,
Know it's dumb.
They know it's dumb.
That's what's so curious about this.
All busy threatening each other. Lindsey Graham came out and said, we are not going to win the presidency in 2016 if we don't vote for this. I don't care who our candidate
Martinez
is.
Martinez said the same thing, yeah. too. He said he had some sort of like quip about it. He was like, the path to the presidency is the path to citizenship, or something like
yeah.
that, like in 2016, basically. But so
Graham said, we're in a demographic death spiral as a party, and the only way we can get back in good graces with the Hispanic community is to pass comprehensive immigration reform. If you don't do it, it doesn't matter who will run, in my view. He was sort of like, we're going to lose
yeah.
the presidency in 4 years because of this.
Right.
This is the moment.
And if this doesn't, the only thing that you could maybe say is that if they had a chance, it would be Marco Rubio, because he is Spanish-speaking. He's not, he's Cuban.
Yeah.
But if his only accomplishment
is to not get
this passed, then he also can't run
yeah.
in 2016.
No, exactly.
So
his 2016 hopes are linked to this bill. He has nothing else going on.
He doesn't have anything
He's
else.
An asshole. He He gave one of the worst rebuttal speeches to the State of the Union in history.
Yep.
He's not likable like when you finally see him. And right? Ooh. The stress of it. Yeah. Think of how much water he would need. Yep. But I think he already is going to have an issue connecting to Hispanic voters, because even though he's Spanish-speaking, he's Cuban, and that's not the same thing. And Mexican immigrants will know it.
Right.
The Cuban population...
Republican white people don't know it.
Republican white people won't know it, but the other Hispanic voters will know it. Like, people aren't stupid. Mexican voters know, and any really voters from anywhere else, any other Spanish-speaking country... know that the Cuban immigrant population is rabidly conservative because of this very specific thing that has to do with their own country. Yeah. But it's not something that is broadly, you know, sort of accepted in the sort of Latino community. That's just this weird narrow demographic that doesn't represent everybody. And, I mean, this is like, you know, evangelical Christians don't represent all white people.
No, so or all Christians.
Or all Christians. So a lot of Christians and white people don't vote for them, even though they may look or sound like them.
Right, exactly.
You know? Like, not everyone who walks the walk and talks the talk sort of gets the broad support just for being them. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You have to have ideas. Right. You can't just... meanwhile, though, with 2016 in mind, a bunch of governors are sort of taking the opposite approach in an effort to get themselves into the...
Yes.
Democratic governors.
Is one of them
a Republican?
Yes, I'm almost certain, right?
Oh,
yes, Brian Sandoval, Nevada.
He's in Nevada. But in Maryland and Vermont and Colorado, governors are passing legislation to get undocumented people driver's licenses, which is a thing that... It's a thing that we already have in California, and they have it in Utah, New Mexico, and Washington State.
Yeah.
But that's sort of like one of the stepping stone issues to granting... more rights of citizenship at the state level to undocumented people.
You know, the argument against it is obviously that, you know, they don't, you know, want to sort of validate that these people are here illegally, but obviously you want them to be able to be...
You want safe drivers.
You want them to have insurance. You want them to be paying car registration fees.
Yeah.
I mean...
You want them to take a driver's test before getting behind the wheel.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons that it makes sense...
To
require driver's licenses.
This is also an interesting storyline going into 2016, because this was sort of like the first moment that we realized in 2008 that Hillary Clinton didn't know what the fuck she was talking about. Because this was the question in one of the early debates that they asked her about that she gave 10 different answers to within the span of about 30 seconds.
Yeah, this... A lot of, just this week, because this article, you know, because people have been talking about this, a lot of people are sort of like saying that's how her presidential hopes got derailed in the first place.
Yeah.
Was this one question.
That was sort of like her first major,
that was the first big blunder.
Flub. Yeah. It was.
Well, and it's, Rick Scott vetoed similar legislation recently as well.
But it's interesting, though, because Mike, and I may be wrong on this, but my guess is that the state legislature in Florida is... at least fairly evenly divided, if not conservative. I'm not entirely certain, but it's interesting that it even got to his desk, basically, is what I'm saying. Because, like...
Well, the same is true in Nevada, though. I mean, that's not just, like, swimming in blue over there. That's a conservative-esque state. It's not the far right, but it's like, fairly conservative there.
Yeah, it's always one of the...
There's lots of immigrants in Florida. So, stuff that benefits immigrants... does well there. Mm-hmm. And this is something that really anybody in a state with lots of immigrants should be in favor of, because you want to make sure that you're not on the road with a bunch of undocumented people who don't have car insurance.
And the driving in Florida is bad anyway, because there's so many old people.
Yeah. It's dangerous
enough.
So then
you have people who don't know how to drive cars on top of people who can't see.
No, that's too much.
And have slow reflexes.
That's way too much.
It's like a death trap.
Yeah. Well, it's been a death trap.
It is, anyway. Yeah.
You can also shoot on sight anyone that you feel is vaguely threatening you.
Sure.
So there's really nothing stopping you from dying at
any time.
Speaking of,
did you at all follow the... they started jury selections this week in the George Zimmerman
case. I was seeing headlines about that. I didn't follow it.
Some of the answers that some of these people gave were just bonkers about,
really?
You know, like, because obviously nobody was saying that they had no clue about it. So, like, the judge sort of, like, asks what they know or whatever. And, like, some of these people were just sort of like, well, I know I saw in the news that he was learning to be a street fighter. And, like, just, like,
crazy
non-facty things.
People are getting a lot of wrong news out there.
A lot.
Probably especially in Florida.
Probably from Fox News.
Well.
Mostly.
That's where most of the non-facts come from.
Yeah.
In the news world.
But anyway.
I just had a hiccup. Did you hear that?
I did.
It's not what you want in a podcast. Anyway. That's there's been a slew. There's a bunch of court rulings expected.
Yeah, we're anxiously awaiting Prop 8 and DOMA.
Yeah, we're waiting that.
Thinking maybe it would happen this week.
Awaiting the ruling on affirmative action because it looks like it might be rolled back, which would be a huge change to the way universities and certain workplaces and other things do their selection process. I feel like it's interesting. Largely because I think that it's a sign that even white people are feeling downtrodden at the moment, that people are sort of like, people, instead of referring to this as just like a big defeat, because this is a big defeat in a lot of ways, like minorities still don't have access to institutions at the same rate as white people, and that's college educations and things like that are much harder to come by when you already are disadvantaged from the get-go.
Right.
So it makes sense to have a policy like this.
Because I think that there are a lot of people and who think, you know, affirmative action laws, that racism is over, which, you know, it's certainly probably better. But, I mean, like, what my argument sort of for affirmative action is that as long as there is literally one business or one university who does not allow one black person in because of their race, then you need affirmative action laws.
Yeah.
If it's going on in one small business with three employees somewhere in the South, then you can't overthrow it.
The other thing is that there are other levels to this type of discrimination that it's... Because, I mean, what a lot of people are saying is that we all sort of, like, we feel like we want to switch to a class-based system instead of a racially-based affirmative action system where poor people are let in instead of specifically minorities or whatever. And I feel like that's, you know, fine, like... We want to give advantages to as many underprivileged people as we can. But we're still living in a world where, like, black people make less money, have fewer educational opportunities, live in poorer neighborhoods. Like, these things have not gone away just because we don't, like, lynch them. Like, it's just because, you know, we have a black president, but that doesn't mean that other black people haven't...
Right, that didn't lift all black people out of...
Right, like, that doesn't mean that other black people didn't grow up in poverty and not... live in an environment where a college education was accessible to them and where they had opportunities to go to the types of schools that I went to and, like, you know, stuff like that. Right. Like, that doesn't change that.
No.
We still have a largely sort of, like, economic... There's still a large economic element to this argument.
Sure.
And it doesn't help when people sort of as a group are economically disadvantaged and look different because that sort of compounds the problem.
Yeah.
So if you have historical discrimination against minorities and the fact that they're not just sort of like living the high life with, you know, the CEOs up there.
Yeah.
Just because white people are also being screwed over now doesn't mean that, you know, that everything's hunky-dory for black people. It just means that everything sucks for everyone.
Does not make it a reason to overturn affirmative action laws.
No. Yeah. Well, there's elements to just like the culture of university settings, which would be very different if only white people were in them, even if those white people were poor.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's plenty of elements to this issue that are not just like overt racism. However, other court news, or not really court, this isn't recent court news, this ruling happened in April, but a judge in April ruled that they would allow the morning after pill to be sold to anyone of any age, and the Obama administration was against it, which enraged everyone who cares about people and humanity in the world.
Yep.
And they decided to stop they formally...
changed their mind.
They dropped their appeal.
Yeah.
Which is good news for people and things.
Yes,
and
exactly.
And women specifically.
And that's over-the-counter, right?
Isn't it?
That's what I thought.
But that's what they're doing everywhere else in the world. Like, why... As long as it's not, like, a pill that also accidentally kills you, like, I don't see why this would be problematic, but... It's a way of controlling the reproductive lives of women, which is a thing that we love to do. It's why we hate abortions. But this is a big win because this is sort of like a stepping stone to sort of like broader acceptance of women's right to sort of control their own body.
Right.
And the Obama administration had, I think, made a huge mistake in not supporting this ruling because...
Well, they certainly took a lot of heat.
It made them sound pro-life. It makes them sound like, you know, teenagers are having sex. Like, they're probably having a lot of unprotected sex in certain states where they're not getting sex education.
Yeah, exactly.
So, to also to take away their ability to, like, deal with that after the fact is just sort of like, that's mean. It's mean and don't do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, North Korea news.
Oh, yeah. We sort of teased this earlier. But the U.S. is open to talks with North Korea, which is...
apparently, their Kim Jong-un, their new leader, mm-hmm. the 27-year-old butterball that's running North Korea, has said that he's interested in having, like, high-level talks with the U.S. directly. Because now we sort of communicate through various intermediaries and threats in the press, basically.
We communicate with... megaphones from the border
that no one
North
listens
South
to,
Korea.
But we can't get there to answer the phone, so it's been tough.
Oh my gosh!
Me and Brent watched a National Geographic like documentary series about North Korea.
It was pretty fascinating.
Brent had not had the type of fascination with North Korea that I had previously.
Right. So Lila was sort of like, I mean, Lila has been telling me sort of like how crazy it is over there, and I've just sort of been, you know,
ignoring it.
Not believing it, but just sort of, you know, not grasping it.
Yeah,
but. Some crazy shit's going down in North Korea.
Crazy shit. Crazy, like, comic style.
Totally.
Like, really overt, crazy propaganda nonsense.
Yeah. But the border is crazy because there's literally just, like
there's, like, this one area where you can cross.
Right. And they're,
and they
like,
just
they
have guards standing there all day staring at each other.
Staring at each other.
They're, like, feet from each other.
Yeah. And like, if they want to, like, talk to each other, like, there's a phone to, like, call, and there's, like, a room that, like, goes over the border.
There's, like,
so they
a conference
like, a conference room.
The border is a conference room.
But North Korea never answers the phone or acknowledges that the South is, like, speaking to them, basically.
Right.
And it's, like, the South is sort of, like, you know,
resorting
speaking
to
into a megaphone, like, shut and, like,
and asking
just,
them to answer the phone, basically.
Right, and they just walk away. The North just sort of, like,
right,
goes,
they just disappear. It makes them uncomfortable to be shouted at right in their face, I guess. I was surprised, because there's, like, U.S. military on that border as well, and I was like, why are they making these announcements in English, too?
I know.
That's rude.
That was weird.
Like, they all speak, we're in Korea, and they all speak Korean. Right. Like, we have to make the announcement first in English just for the benefit of the U.S. Army people that are making the announcement? Like, it's bonkers.
I know.
Just have a Korean guy go over there and make the announcement in Korean. And also, don't have an American call them.
Well,
have
I know.
Have other Koreans so they can have a conversation in Korean and understand what's going on.
Right. And also, the American being there is just probably what's not helping things at all in the first place.
Yeah, like, it's America that they don't want to talk to.
Exactly.
They want to talk to the South. They want to unify Korea. They want to do it under their terms, which are crazy terms. But ultimately, their goal is to have a unified Korea. So you'd think they'd be more likely to answer the phone if a Korean was calling them.
Yeah, just politely.
Just a nice phone call in Korean. Chat a little bit about your similarities. I also this week read an article about the North Korean hockey team.
What?
It was on Gawker. It was fascinating.
Oh my god!
And they said that, and then it was so cute though. They had, they obviously have. They're terrible, and they're in like
the
lowest division.
They think they're
awesome.
They
play like all the Middle Eastern, like all these warm countries, basically.
Okay.
They play like, you know, UAE,
right.
And like a bunch, you know, stuff like that. And apparently UAE has the best equipment, but they plays last like every time. North Korea is like sharing hockey sticks, but they did pretty well. They're smaller than the other team, so they had that disadvantage.
Yeah,
but they had, they went to a restaurant, or they had, at their hotel, there were a bunch of South Koreans. The event was held in South Africa, and a bunch of South Koreans who were living in South Africa came and brought them food.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that sweet?
It is.
Like, they were all able to talk about being Korean together.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this border is bonkers. Everything that they're doing in North Korea
is
bonkers.
Too. Yeah.
The whole... anything that you think could be a hilarious thing that a dictator would do that everyone would be, like, laughing off is being done very seriously in North Korea. We were watching... it was this documentary where Lisa Ling was pretending to be part of the team of some doctor that goes and helps blind people.
Surgery. Because they all have eye problems from, like, malnutrition, basically.
Right.
They all have cataracts.
Yeah, like, even
like
kids
everybody
have
in
cataracts.
North Korea is blind, apparently.
Yeah, right? But so they went to the home of this woman who was blind, and... they were talking about what, you know, what her life
woman,
is like.
Of course.
But yeah,
because
a rich
that's
woman.
The government would always
it was a
like,
person
the
government approved. You
right.
never, you don't get to see in the homes of poor people in North Korea.
No.
You only get to visit rich people.
Yeah.
But so they were talking about what life is like as a blind person in North Korea. And Lisa Ling asked her what she misses
so good.
The most about seeing. And I was like, she's going to say she misses seeing the dear leader.
That's
and that's
exactly
what she said.
Yep.
Like, that's, and there were government minders there. She couldn't say anything else. She couldn't be like, I miss seeing my children.
No.
But there were these hilarious images in the house of Kim. This was when Kim Jong-il was still in charge.
Kim Jong-il, like riding a horse, like a superhero poster. It was like a poster for Superman or something, basically.
And they wouldn't allow them to take a picture of the whole poster. They could only take a picture of the top
up. Oh, yeah, the top.
The middle up for some reason.
I don't know.
It was so weird.
Yeah.
There were just so many weird things going on.
Uh-huh.
They threatened to kick somebody out for taking a photo of a statue of the first Kim Jong-un, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, that's what
Because he had taken it from the ground up because he couldn't fit the whole thing in the frame.
Right. Well, because it's massive.
It's a huge, this huge statue.
Yeah. Oh, and South Korea has like a huge, like right in sort of near the border, they have like a huge flagpole with the South Korean flag. So North Korea built the largest flagpole in the world, I think they said, right? Just to put the, like...
The flagpole is sitting in the middle of a fake city.
A fake city.
They built a fake city that has just shells of buildings...
It looks nice,
so that
but they're just
people
facades.
In South Korea would want to defect to North Korea. Like, that's fooling anybody. Like, people in South Korea don't have access to the internet.
Yeah.
Like...
It's, like...
Bonkers
really
stuff.
A comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, a tragic comedy.
It's sort of the, like... Every, like, kind of hilarious communist thing that... You might be hearing weird noises. Brent's dog suddenly got very desperate to get into the room.
Scratch her way into the room.
But anyway, yeah. North Korea is every, like, hilarious, like, Soviet fantasy, basically.
It's awesome.
It's crazy.
Terrible.
It's terrible and awesome. Yeah. And it's a reason... There's a reason you might be Googling Pyongyang.
It's because sort you want to find out
you
things like
find
this.
Out things like this.
Yeah, exactly.
So in any case...
But I'm in favor of high-level talks with them, because, I mean...
They're some of the most bonkers people out there.
I'd be in favor of going to the high-level talks.
Exactly.
I'm sure I'm not invited, but...
I'm so curious what their demands will be.
I know.
Like, stop being imperial. Like, they... What's funny about North Korea is that they really just hate the U.S.
Yeah.
South Korea, they don't hate because they feel like South Korea was also bamboozled by the U.S. into fighting them.
Right.
So they just want South Korea to realize that they should be under the control of North Korea, basically, so they could unify. But they're, like, stuck in this, like, Cold War-era mentality. They don't have access to outside news sources, so they don't know that that's over.
Right.
And that we now talk to Russia. Remember, Russia's crazy, but we talk to them. This is on Netflix if you want to investigate it for yourself.
You should.
It's fascinating. And I also recommend on Netflix a documentary called State of Mind, which is the one I always talk about with the North Korean gymnasts.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's another fascinating one. Anyway, moving on. There has been some hilarious controversy over this National Defense Authorization Act that was getting considered this week.
Yeah.
Everyone's tried to put a bunch of amendments in that are all bonkers.
Crazy, yeah.
And prove that the GOP hates the troops because there's a lot of...
Hate certain segments of the troops.
Well, no, I...
Specifically,
yeah,
but...
I mean, several that you're not even expecting,
right,
like,
exactly. That's,
as you might imagine, Ted Cruz hates gays.
Hates gays.
Would like to make sure that bullying of gays can continue.
Right.
Unhindered.
Well, if there's one way to show your own personal faith or your love of the Lord, it's to bully gay people.
Yeah.
As a service member.
And he doesn't want them to be limited and not able to talk about their faiths by the government. So he wants to make sure that if they want a gay bash together...
They can.
Because of their faith. They're allowed.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, the GOP...
What Jesus did.
Yeah, that's what Jesus did. The GOP is not interested in allowing atheist members of the service to have their own chaplains. Which is something that Jared Polis, who's a representative from New Jersey, had suggested because... Which is an interesting point, I think. I initially read this article and thought to myself, well, that's crazy. If they're atheists, they don't need a chaplain.
Need a chaplain. That was my first response.
But he said that there's certain stigmas to seeking mental health treatment, and currently, if you're an atheist, your only option to seek sort of, like, casual counsel
is
to go to a mental health
professional,
and then you look like a crazy person.
Oh, or to... I was going to say, or they would maybe send you to... A chaplain.
Right. Or to go to a chaplain. But I mean, if you're an atheist and a chaplain is not going to comfort you because knowing that God's on your side isn't going to help, then you have to go see an actual therapist.
Yeah.
And so, because what religious people have available to them in the service that other people don't have is the ability to talk through things that are bothering them with an advisor of sorts, which would be their chaplain. If you're an atheist, you're not going to go talk to a Catholic chaplain. His advice is irrelevant to you.
Yeah.
He's going to tell you things about how you should convert to Catholicism, and then also about how God loves you, none of which you'll believe because you don't believe in God. So it'll be tough all around. They already, I think, allow Buddhist chaplains But, and that's considered a non-theistic religion, but that's still not, like, if you're an atheist, you're not going to try to be talking to a Buddhist chaplain.
Right. Also, aren't Buddhists sort of, like, typically very anti-war?
I was wondering what Buddhists they were even consulting with, but I decided to stay out of it.
Because, like, I just can't imagine there's many Buddhists in our military that are
evidently,
sort of, like, going
though, there's
people.
Enough that they had to approve allowing right. Buddhist chaplains.
Fair enough.
That's probably where all the atheists were having to go beforehand, because they were like, well, I'm not going to talk
to... That's the closest thing.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk to a priest. Like, who am I going to talk to?
No.
But so, in any case, the GOP obviously shut down that amendment.
Of course.
Because they hate the troops. As I've been saying all along, even though everyone acts like they love the troops.
And atheists.
And they, well, of course they hate atheists.
Right.
They hate atheists, they hate gays, they hate everyone that you expect them to hate. But what they also hate is those people, even when they're troops.
Right. They're consistent.
They're consistent, yeah. They're not, I mean, they sort of get away with looking like they love the troops all the time.
Yeah.
So they're not that consistent because there are troops that are made up, I mean, even before they were letting gays in the military, they were atheists in the military.
Obviously.
I mean... It's harder to sort of get an atheist to follow the kind of, like, you know, the doctrine that the military kind of drills into you, because atheists are not followers in that sense usually. I mean,
right.
It's easier to get a religious person to believe that they're doing something for country and for freedom and for honor
it's
and
true.
Stuff than it is to get someone who doesn't believe anything in particular.
Right.
Certainly
in any sort of, like, group mentality like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that really does affect the way that you think, like, as a whole, I think. And, you know,
I think
you're sort of... Because I was talking at one point with my mother about how when my grandfather and grandmother both left the church at a certain point, but my grandfather became a Unitarian and sort of started having everyone become a Unitarian, go to Unitarian church with him, because he sort of missed the community of church and the sort of, like, the sort of ritual of it. My grandmother was just sort of done with it, because she was that kind of person who couldn't be bothered. Couldn't be... No,
she decided that was it.
She left the church the day that they used her middle name against her will in church and never went back. She'd asked them not to say her full name. She said, just use my first and last name. She didn't like her middle name. They announced her full name and she was like, it's over. I'm done with you. But in any case, so that was a useless point. That was my way of saying that it's weird to be an atheist in the military in the first place.
Yeah,
but you deserve your own chaplain.
Agreed.
Other people that are being hated by the GOP.
Right. And, you know, that's a good segue. I was also going to say another thing that they're being consistent on.
Oh, yes. Hating women.
Hating women. Rick Perry vetoed an equal pay bill, which is so weird to me because similar to that bill in Florida that Rick Scott vetoed about the illegal immigrants, I don't understand how the Republican state legislature sent Rick Perry a bill.
Yeah.
For equal pay. That sounds very unlike them.
That's when you know.
Right, exactly.
He vetoed it because he claimed that it's unneeded because we already have equal pay legislation federally, which a lot of states have sort of bolstered at the state level because our Equal Pay Act federally is not very strong. That's why we had the whole controversy about it earlier this year.
Right. Which, my question to Rick Perry is, if it's the same, then yes, I get why maybe it's stupid, but couldn't you have just put your name on it?
Right.
Like, just, I mean, it just makes you seem like you don't want this to be a news story, Rick Perry.
No.
I mean, it's just sort
and
of like...
It's been passed at the state level in 42 states.
Don't
be the state that didn't pass it.
Exactly.
What are the states that you're in the company of? Not like, states you want to be
associated
with.
Do you
want to
run for president again?
Yeah.
I mean, you probably can't. You shouldn't. And
so maybe you don't care.
He would not have our endorsement to do so. But, actually, he would have our endorsement to run for president.
Yeah, he's a funny candidate.
Yeah. But, like... Why do these people do this? It just doesn't make any sense. There's really just no explanation for it.
Here's why. Because it wasn't just the same as the federal legislation. It was going to strengthen it. And he doesn't think that women should be getting equal pay because he doesn't want to limit the rights of corporations to exploit women.
Fuck women over. Yeah, exactly.
I've been on a rampage all week about... open salary information at companies.
Oh, yeah.
Because Reddit had this sort of thing where someone went online and said that everyone should post their job and their salary. And it was fascinating to read.
Yeah.
Really, unless you're working in computers. And this was all in New York City, so there were specific job types that were not represented. But unless you're working in computers, you're not really making a living wage. And anyone who has sort of skills that are generally useful, like in the humanities, is making like $35,000 a year.
Right. Well, they've done studies about, I mean, people... companies are happier when their employees know how much everybody else is making.
Right, because no one feels like they're being screwed over.
There's
no
even
one
that show on Fox right now.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Where that, the whole, there's like a whole show about this, basically, where everybody finds out what everybody's making, and then they, the staff gets to decide whether they want to let anybody go, which is terrible. But, I mean,
but
it's
I mean,
sort of like...
This is, I was actually talking, we recently had a situation in my office where we started sort of governing our department as a group instead of having a,
Have a boss
direct boss. We don't have a, we don't, you know, we have a boss but we don't have a boss within our department. It's working so much better. We're so much happier. We get more done. We've innovated a lot of things. And on top of that, we, two of us at least, have sort of shared salary information. It was really empowering to know.
Yeah.
It seems like something that would make everyone at least more content, because as it is now, I walk around suspicious that everyone is making a lot more money than I think in my office, and that I'm the one that's being screwed over.
Not happening. Just everybody's generally getting
screwed over, except for the people that aren't, and they're getting, they're the ones screwing us over, so that's,
interesting.
You know.
Well, that, it's not interesting.
That's
that makes
how
total
it works
sense.
In every company,
I was going to say, that's the world.
Yeah, that's the world. But I mean, I sort of even think like, you know, I think this is, I was talking to a friend who was working as a mortgage consultant at a bank at one point, and he was like, you know, I wish that it was not taboo to talk about money and the specifics, because a lot of people entered underwater mortgages because they didn't know how much they could afford in a mortgage, and no one, it's because no one talks about money, so they couldn't compare to anything.
Yeah.
If you don't know how much your friend's paying rent or how much, you know, what the market is like in certain
taboo.
Areas. And and if you don't know that your friend who got in overhead, you know, over their heads on their mortgage did that,
right,
and they're afraid to tell you about it,
right,
then you might do the same thing and not even realize it.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because not everyone has financially responsible parents. It's not everyone picks up genius financial skills.
Right.
A lot of people in a lot of credit card debt for not understanding how credit cards work. But in any case, one of the things that open sort of salary information at a company level would do is it would prevent women from being unfairly underpaid. Because that's, I think, one of the things, it benefits your boss to not tell you how much everyone's making, because then
of
you don't realize you're being underpaid.
Yeah, exactly. But then you can underpay everybody.
This is how women are making 77 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
For men, or to men. It's because no one talks about it.
Yeah.
If you don't know how much everyone's making, you never know that you're making less than all the men at your company.
Well, and that was the whole thing with Lily Ledbetter. I mean, that's how she found out sort of like, what was it, like 30 years after she'd been working someplace and like somehow found out, basically. And that's sort of like how she became sort of a household name, is because she sort of like went on the charge about that. But it was just because she had, you know, it was years and years and years that she had been working and nobody knew what anybody was making. And then she finally found out and it was, you know, substantially less.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
And if everybody knows what everybody else is making, then you don't have that problem.
Then we don't need equal pay legislation, because then it will enforce itself.
It sure will.
Yeah. Huh. So, in any case, our final thought.
That's it.
Talk to your friends about money. They need to know that they're overpaying for their mortgages. Anyway, we will see you next week. And hopefully, I don't know. I don't know what we're expecting next week. Hopefully,
maybe we'll have Supreme Court news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
it's time.
It's time.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. I think so. Anyway, bye.
Bye.